I'd like to invite all of you this morning to open your Bibles to Psalm number 40. And I'd like to begin reading with the first verse and read all the way through the Psalm. That's Psalm number 40. David, the psalmist, writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, for you yourself know how I have not hidden your righteousness within me. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, Aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. David sets before us the need to trust in the Lord in every situation. Too often we forget about that, and we begin to trust in ourselves. We begin to think that we've got all that we need, and, well, what do we need with the Lord? But David finds himself in a situation in which, on the one hand, he has been rescued from danger, and on the other hand, he is still exposed to peril. He points out here in verses 1 through 3, that the Lord saves those who trust him. There is a virtue in waiting on the Lord. David realized that God cared about him. In the first verse, he mentions this, and we find in 1 Peter 5 and 7 that Peter reiterates a similar thought. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 33, we know that Jesus there talked about don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, your body, what you'll put on. And he points out that life is more than all of these temporal things. And then he talks about them being of more value than the birds of the air and more value than the grass of the field and so forth. But notice, he talks down here in verse 31, he says, Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall we eat? Or where shall we drink? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. No reason to be concerned. We know, in fact, that God hears us. In John 9 and 31, the man that Jesus healed is speaking here, and he says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but anyone who is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears. Now notice, a worshiper of God who does his will, he hears us, and we're thankful for it. And God also saves, as David pointed out in the psalm that we just read in verse 2. The immediate reference here, you'll notice, is to the pit of death. But here we're looking at a spiritual application whenever we turn to Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. And we notice that Paul tells Titus, we ourselves were also once among the foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of promise. We are confident that we have a God who can deliver us from evil. And he has indeed made every effort on his part to do so. And the only thing that's missing is our part. But also David points out that God establishes. In Proverbs 4:19 through 27, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. God has the ability to establish us, to put us on, we might say, the right road or the right path. And we indeed are thankful for that. But notice here, he also says God gives reason to praise him. In Psalm 40 and verse 3, we read here, he has put a new song in my heart, or in my mouth, and praise to our God. Many will see and fear it, and will trust in the Lord. One thing I noticed about this is David says here that others will take notice of it. Many will see and fear it. The Lord indeed gives us reason to praise him, and he says that others will notice it as well. Then he talks about the Lord blessing those who will trust him. Notice, if you will, verses 4 and 5 of our reading. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. He notes here that the proud and deceitful are rejected. Psalm 15:4, David wrote, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. And he swears to his own hurt and does not change. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, God says, I hate. So, the proud, the deceitful will be rejected. But David goes on to point out that the works of God are innumerable. The blessings that he pours out upon us. I thought immediately here of Matthew 5 and 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And of course, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his saints, or of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things, both in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, David went beyond this to talk about something we're going to sing about in a few moments. And though that is that those who trust the Lord obey him. Verses 6 through 8, this is what he points out. I delight to do your will, O God. Obeying God was not a chore for David. He loved to obey God. And this, of course, is what God delights in. We find here, though, a prophetic psalm applied to Jesus. Look, if you will, with me at Hebrews chapter 5, or chapter 10, verse 5, and down through verse 12. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first and he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's interesting when we see in the Psalms and many other places in the Old Testament, but especially in the Psalms, these interjections of things pertaining to Jesus. In the New Testament, we find application made of them. And Hebrews is rich in this regard, rich. Notice in this, though, sacrifices did not satisfy God. You know, there's a reason for that. And here's one reason for it. In 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel, speaking to Saul, said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What did God want? A whole bunch of sacrifice? No, he wanted them to obey him. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. In Matthew chapter 9 and 13, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God sent Jesus as the sacrifice once for all. And by the way, that phrase once for all in this passage of scripture, literally translated, means once for all without need of repetition. Once for all without need of repetition. Jesus doesn't have to offer a sacrifice over and over and over again. It was offered once for all. Jesus fulfilled the will of the Father. In John 4 and verse 34, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what Jesus came for. John 17 and 4, I have glorified you on earth, as he prayed in the garden to God the Father. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus' whole life was devoted to doing the will of the Father. And that's why we look at David over here and see him trying to do the same thing and teaching us to do the same thing. But something interesting about this, David says that those who trust in God tell others. Those who trust in God tell others. Notice Psalm 40, beginning with verse 9. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not refrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness from the great assembly. Now that kind of brings a question to mind. After seeing what David did, have we proclaimed and declared the word of God? Have we followed the example of Peter and John who said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. They stood in the council, and their lives were on the line when they did this. Yeah. Have we done it the way they did when they were scattered from Jerusalem? And Acts 8 and verse 4 says that they went everywhere preaching the word. Or have they been like the church in Thessalonica? For Paul says to them in verse 8 of chapter 1, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Something to think about. Something to think about. But before we run out of time, David says that those who trust in God recognize their need for mercy. Look at that. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me. God's loving kindness extended through his trust to us helps to preserve us. Look at John 17 and verse 17. Jesus in the garden prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. Now, what is the importance of that? 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Do you get that? Purified your souls in obeying the truth, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God preserves us in the midst of evil. David talks about many of the calamities that befell him. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 42, he said, so shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust your word. Look at that. No matter what happens, what does David say? God, I trust your word. In 1 John 1 verse 5, notice here, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's the power that God has for us. But those who trust in the Lord will be delivered. Trusting in God will bring deliverance. David writes, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Deliver me. The one who trusts in the Lord will have enemies, just as we see David having many enemies. But you know, Jesus warned us that we're facing the same thing here. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, beginning with verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Great is reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you know, just in case you wondered about this, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It ain't no bed of roses, you know. There's going to be persecution. Sometimes more and sometimes less. But it's going to come. It naturally comes, just as it did in David's time, between those who trusted God and obeyed him and those who didn't trust God and didn't obey him. They're always going to be the difference between the two, and they're going to be a problem with persecution. But David says about these people, let them be ashamed and driven backward and confounded. Look at that in verse 14 to 15. Let them be ashamed, driven backward and confounded. You know, we see examples of this in the New Testament, in Acts 6 at verse 10, where we notice here, now this is, on this occasion, this was the gospel preacher, Stephen, and it says, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They couldn't resist it. So they threw rocks at him and killed him. But look at Acts 9 and verses 4 through 6. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to the Lord, this is Saul, who later was known as Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Yeah, he was face to face with Jesus himself. What could he do? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 talks about those who are troubled. He says they are at rest with them when Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now listen to this. Here is what Jesus is going to do to all those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and do not know God. I want you to make that a note. Here it is. Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. David said, let them be ashamed and driven backward and confounded. I would say this definitely fills the bill right here. Fills the bill. But we also notice that those who trust God will seek him and find help. In verses 16 and 17 of Psalm 40, the psalmist said, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. But look at Proverbs chapter 2. Verses 1 through 9 with me. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see the seeking here, the seeking and the finding. Find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Do you see what comes from seeking? This is what comes from seeking. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. All the more reason that we should heed Matthew 6 and verse 33, which we read a moment ago. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Much wisdom to be derived from David. And much to be derived from the applications that we can make of it to us today.